Another day. Let's have some pumpkin spice lattes. Wayward soul, welcome to our ethereal journey toward enlightenment, toward PSLs, pumpkin spice lattes. Aha!
In the bottom of a Starbucks cup.
Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 137. Wow, I cannot speak. Welcome to episode 137 of Restitching the Tapestry. It's good to see all of you. I know it's been a couple of weeks. We needed some necessary rest and time off for a couple of weeks because we've been so busy. But we are back and we are ready for trouble, as always.
Absolutely.
So... What was that?
It was my white girl voice.
So, oh my gosh, what have we been up to? How have we been? We got a lot to catch up on. What have you been doing?
Oh my god, I'm so swamped with school.
Oh, me too. I get that.
Oh my god. I'm on like week 9 of... So this week and next week are, so I've got a final project due. I have to read I have to finish a book tonight by midnight and do a discussion post. Clock's ticking. And I have to do a reaction paper and finish my final project by next week. I am stressy.
Ooh, master's classes, like, they kind of, like, it seems like really smooth sailing for a while, but then they catch up on you and you're like, like, especially toward the last few weeks of the semester.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember that frustration all too well. But you've also been working on some creative stuff too, right?
I have, and it's because I have been putting off the responsibilities of my life. I've been working on my poetry book, Beachfront Property.
Yes, I am so excited about your poetry
I've also been
book.
Working on my script for NaNoWriMo, State of Mind. I have 30 pages into that, and it's getting juicy. My love story between, what's her name? Cassie and... Clark, or his name is Kent. His name is Kent. I almost call him Clark because she always has her nickname for him is Superman.
Oh, I love that. Well, that sounds exciting. It sounds like you've been up to a lot and like super duper busy. I feel the same way. Like, I've been very obviously, we're over midway through the semester, so like a lot of grading, a lot of, you know, my students are having a lot of anxiety right now. So, like, I'm trying to also like help them feel at ease. I know that many of you probably are aware of this, but I am on our local PFLAG chapter, which is an LGBTQ plus organization. And we are opening in January, we're opening a brick and mortar LGBTQ plus literature library, which is going to be super exciting. Yes. And very like, it's not a common thing to happen. This is really cool. And I've been participating on a committee to help facilitate like a fundraiser. So if anybody wants to do something nice for the holidays, if you are into charitable donations and stuff like that, feel free to, I'll have a link in the description below, but feel free to go visit our page. If you want to buy a book off our Amazon registry, make a donation, or even just mail in a lightly used book that's LGBTQ plus themed.
I'll have to do that for December. That'll be on my wish list for December.
Yes. And do you want to know what's even more exciting, everyone? Ari's book, Full of Now, will be in the LGBTQ plus library.
I hope your books are in there too.
Oh, they are. Oh, good. They are. But no, I think it's just, I think it's very important for local LGBTQ plus authors to have a presence in there as well, because hopefully this space will kind of serve as a safe space, I suppose, for people, especially considering how so many book bans are happening in other states and how there's a lot of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation out there. Like, I feel like libraries are important now more than they ever have. Well, just as important now as they ever have been.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's just so nice that there's going to be a place where you can look at, or you can take out books where it just be like a gathering place. So important. And it'll be like a place, I'm hoping that like there'll be like really good like history books and like really good. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Also, if anyone has any, so if you do get a chance to look at our registry and you find that there are books on there or that are not on there that should be on there, I think our committee did a pretty good job like covering the necessary books. But if there's any that are missing, please message me or reach out to me, because I would be happy to add in any recommendations of LGBTQ plus books that you might have. Because I mean, I'm relatively well informed on things, but there are a lot of books that, you know, I've probably never heard of that should be on there. So I know. Oh my God, current event snapshot. What's going on right now? So I've been very tuned out of politics lately. Like Ari and I were just talking in the back room about how we're just kind of like, we've not really been following the news a lot lately.
No, yeah. I'm just like tunnel visioned on like everything right now. It seems like the weather has just been like out of control lately. It yes. seems like politics are just out of control lately. It seems like there's just so much chaos. There's stuff happening in Israel and Palestine. I'm just so like freaked out by everything. I'm just like, I cannot.
It's so much to process. It's so much to process. So the only political thing that I really tuned into that I heard, I think it was today, was Representative George Santos. You remember that representative who basically was accused of like pretending to be someone he's not, and then also like embezzling money from like donors and stuff like that? Well, oh, apparently he won't run for re-election because there was some sort of ethics committee thing that like found that he actually was doing way more with that donor money, and in fact including subscribing to OnlyFans accounts.
Why does that not surprise me? I'm not surprised.
We're not surprised at all.
Is it just for this election, or is it ever again?
That's a good question. I do not know. Hopefully ever again. So the only other news thing that I thought was super interesting. So do you ever go down wormholes on the internet? I know I do.
I absolutely. I mean,
and I shouldn't.
Is that not the point of the internet? Is I know. To go down weird, random internet wormholes.
So one of my wormholes is geology. I mean, I wrote my entire first book of poems is like just a geology nerds, you know, OnlyFans, basically.
I love it.
So I don't know if you've all heard, but in Iceland right now, there's been a lot of volcanic unrest. There's actually, like, a lot of people have been, like, being hysterical on the internet over it, being like, the world's coming to an end. Three volcanoes erupted at the same time around the world.
And there's a whole channel dedicated to volcanic activity. And honestly, there's always a volcano somewhere that's, like, got some kind of fumes coming out of it.
And people don't realize that there's hundreds of volcanoes around the world, and most of the time there's at least like 20 to 30 that are erupting simultaneously. So it's not like out of this world. Why is my halo blinking? Did you see my halo blinking?
Was it? I didn't even notice.
I think I jostled it too hard. Anyway.
It was God sending a message. Just kidding.
Probably sending me a message being like, calm down, gay. I don't approve of you.
It was the volcano erupting in itself.
Oh, not the fire and brimstone. Iceland obviously is one of the most volcanically active places on the planet because it lies, this is going to sound very nerdy, it lies on the tectonic boundary that's like a rift zone. So like it's new earth coming out and like being created all the time.
Ooh.
And obviously volcanoes in Iceland are literally like people are sipping their coffee, walking outside and be like, oh, look, there's lava over there. Cool.
Sounds like Hawaii.
I know, right? So, but there's this area that's like, it's like 20 miles away from the capital of Iceland that has literally been evacuated. Like an entire like fishing city, like town of like 3,500 people has been evacuated because of a volcano developing underneath of this town. They started getting tons of earthquakes. A huge like rift like tore down like the middle of this town, and like the west side of the town is like 5 feet lower than it was before. The other side is like 5 feet. It's like wild. It's like wild. And I just can't imagine what those people are going through. Like, and I can imagine that's really scary because there was. I was watching a few news reports and they were like allowing people back in to like get their pets because they were evacuated so fast that they had to abandon their pets.
Yeah.
I would be a mess if I ever had to leave our cats in the middle of a volcano.
Babies, my poor babies.
If I had to leave them in the middle of a volcano, I would not recover.
Yeah. I remember when I lived in Seattle, there were several... There was always a lot of anxiety because there was a lot of fear that several things could always happen at any time. Like there was always fear that there was going to be like a big earthquake again, that the big one was coming. And then there was always fear that Mount Rainier was going to erupt again.
Right. Because it's one of the Cascade volcanoes like Mount St. Helens.
Right. And then there was always fear that there was going to be a tsunami because the earthquake would set off shockwaves that could bring a tsunami into the harbor. So if you were close inland, you could be caught in a tsunami. Oh, there was always things like that. So sometimes I would just like list off all of like the terrible things that could happen while you were like you could just like any die from.
I know in Seattle, don't they have like lahar roots? Like, so like if a volcano erupts and like a lot of glaciers melt and it causes like floods, like.
Yeah. So
it's so like, I like as beautiful as Washington State is, natural disaster wise, it is.
Like at any given point, like you're just like on the brink of like disaster living in Seattle. But like, it's most of the time you just like don't.
Have you ever experienced an earthquake before?
I've never. I think I might have living in Death Valley, but I don't think I ever felt it.
Isn't Death Valley technically a super volcano or something?
No, not Death Valley. That's you're thinking of
Long Valley. Well, there's one in California. I think it's Long Valley is different than Death Valley, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's Long Valley.
Death Valley is the lowest point in the northern
hemisphere.
Northern hemisphere, yeah.
I surprisingly did experience an earthquake one time, and it was actually here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like 2010, 2011? There was like a big earthquake over, was it by Montreal or something like that? It was like a 6.0 earthquake over there, and it was felt all the way over like into Michigan, Wisconsin and stuff like that. So like it was a very weird experience. Like I remember I was outside. I think I was like, I was like weeding in my garden or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly I kind of felt like a wave, and then I got really motion sick.
Really?
Like it was just like a wave and then immediate motion sickness. It was
Really?
wild. Yeah. Like I literally had to like sit down. Like it was like, and then I like went inside and on the news, it was like earthquake, blah, 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 felt in Michigan. And I'm like, what? So it didn't feel like jolting or anything like that. It was, I'm sure earthquakes feel differently depending on how the magnitude and where you are, but like it was wild.
Weird.
It was very weird. Well, that's the news. That is the current event snapshot for the day today.
Is it time to read the mission
It
statement?
is time for your beautiful live performance of the mission statement.
Oh my goodness, here we go. I'll read it in my white woman voice. We live in a dynamic society where social media shapes us by creating greater adversity, many marginalized community space, the powers causing the adversity, and those who act as bystanders as atrocities take place in real time. Our goal with this show is to make connections and have challenging conversations about social topics, current events, pop culture, and art. Together, let's weave the threads of understanding with what privilege we have in order to learn, educate, and create in a world that's growing.
Amen. Amen. Your performance was beautiful. It reminded me of Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek. Have you ever watched Schitt's
Absolutely,
Creek?
that
We are psychic, I swear. Well, okay, so this topic is interesting. I can't even remember why we decided to come up with this topic. Like, it was a while ago. Do you remember what our motivation was?
I don't know, but it's because we were thinking about fall, and we see a lot of like pumpkin spice things, and it's sort of like because people like to make over the years, because we are millennials, there's just been so many people who've made fun of like pumpkin spice latte. And I know that people like it's one of those topics that's just been like over talked about.
And we're about to talk about
But it's like I feel like one of those things, but it's one of those things that I think that we need to heal. Like this is what we talk about in this show is like it's like one of because like it's been talked about in like such a negative manner that I feel like it's one of those things that we need to heal as like a community and like one of those topics that like we need to like like discuss
Right.
as like an actual like maybe this is because I think that like we talked about it in a negative light, but then like I think that people started to like talk and think about it in like a positive light and that like, we were like starting to heal from it. So I think that like maybe we can look at it from like a critical lens and talk about like why people like were so critical of it originally, but like also from like the positive aspects of like so I think that like maybe re-examining it from both aspects, just kind of like circling back on it again, because it is one of those things that just like always pops up and it's one of those perennial things.
Yeah.
And I think that having insights on it,
Well, and
it's just one of those things.
yeah, and I think, I mean, we're gonna obviously delve a little bit into, because like obviously there are things that fuel the negativity behind, the way people kind of like shame pumpkin spice lattes and this notion, this image and the aesthetic of the white girl fall, right? Quote unquote. Well, let's begin by sharing whether are we fans of pumpkin spice and embracing the aesthetic?
So I personally have, I usually will get at least one or two pumpkin spice lattes every year. I get the vegan version, so I don't always get the full pumpkin spice latte, but usually at the beginning of the season, usually in at least August or September, I will get at least one or two pumpkin spice lattes, and they're either iced or they're hot, but I always get at least one a year. You got to get the one in.
I probably do like four or five. Well, okay, so for those of you who do not know this, I was a barista for 10 years of my life, And I would make our coffee shop owner always keep on hand a supply of pumpkin pie flavor and maple flavor, because I was one of those people where I would want a pumpkin spice latte or a maple latte all year round. Like it would be like late May, and I'd be like, I'm gonna make myself a pumpkin spice latte. Like, let's do it.
Absolutely. Go, you know, it's not just seasonal. You can get it whenever.
Arby's here. Hi, Arby. It's good to see you. You like my outfit and my short that I'm. Oh, I posted a short of like my cat being silly.
Oh.
And Arby says, I like pumpkin pie, but never had a latte. Ooh, I always encourage trying. It's really
Oh my
nice.
goodness. I just bought an espresso machine and I have been dying. I love it.
I like, okay, so I saw you post about it and it really, like, I have an itch now. I think
Oh,
I
it's
need
there.
one.
So I bought a $90 cheap Amazon espresso machine. It's a pressurized pump. So Reddit was quick to jump the saying that I had been scammed and I got the bad one because I got the it I did not consult the coffee god James Hoffman on YouTube about which was the best cheap espresso machine. I swear to God, the thing about the internet is that you have to always get the most bang for your buck on what espresso machine you're supposed to get, or like what product you're supposed to buy, and that you have to consult who are considered to be the internet's most expert authority on what products you're supposed to buy. And usually those are influenced by like corporations, endorsing products through like influencers and things like that. Like they pay money for you to say this product is good or this product isn't good and things like that through like influencers. So like they pay good money for influencers to say, I endorse this product. So it's very interesting to say like you didn't consult this influencer or you didn't consult this person for which product to buy when actually like it's just a cheating game anyway.
Oh, absolutely. It's consumerism at the end of the day, right?
It's just, and usually products are on the market because they're meant to be bought. Like if I just want an espresso machine to put some steamed milk in, is it, and like even if they don't have the exact, what if they don't have my exact machine that I purchased and they haven't reviewed that? Does that mean that the product that I bought is bad because they haven't reviewed that exact, you know what I mean? Like,
Oh yeah, no, that's an excellent point, I think. So I have you ever been shamed for liking pumpkin spice?
have I ever, I don't know. I lived in Seattle and the things that I would drink, people would, I would often get like, sometimes I would get side eyes for like, because I would get like just a basic Americano. And sometimes people would be like, or because I would go to Starbucks and I wouldn't get the like Uber underground cafe coffee house version of the Americano, like the pour over, drip over a coffee version of it. Because Seattle's like very, Seattle's like very coffee oriented. And there are people who would get like certain kinds of coffee and like Starbucks, it's on every corner. Like it's prolific. But like there are certain, there's, if you want coffee snobs, like Seattle is the coffee snob capital. Like if you don't get from certain coffee places, or like if you don't get, and like if you don't buy from certain stores within Seattle, like they rank their Starbucks. Like if you don't go to a specific Starbucks or go to like their reserve to get the special kind of Starbucks, then you, and like they, and if you, like, if you don't go to, if you live in a certain part of the city and you go to a certain Starbucks, then you're, they judge you as a human being. Like,
oh my God.
It's crazy. There was a whole Stranger article. Stranger is the free newspaper that they have in the city. And mm-hmm. they were ranking and like giving stereotypes of the people who went to specific Starbucks. And so I was like, how judgmental. Oh my God. And it was like the one Starbucks that I went to every day, which was the one on First in Maine. They were like, you're a tourist, aren't you? And I was like, no, I'm not a tourist. I actually just like that Starbucks a lot. And they were like, you like, that's the worst one you could possibly go to. And I was like, so offended. I love that one on First in Maine. That's like my favorite one.
Sounds like one of those old exhausting BuzzFeed articles from like 2015.
It was because it was right near Pike Market. So it's like, it's such a good Starbucks and the people are so friendly there. And they were so vicious ranking what's the best Starbucks in the city. So mean.
You know, it's really funny. Like, so like, I feel like the people who would probably write something like that would probably have zero familiarity with coffee in general anyway. And I always think about like my days as a barista, because I would always get people who would come in who would be so judgy about coffee. Oh. Do you want to hear, since we're getting close to Black Friday, do you want to hear one of my customer service horror stories?
Oh my God.
I had to take off my glasses for this.
Let's hear it.
So it was Black Friday one year, and I worked Black Friday both in retail and as a barista. Both absolutely terrible. So like our coffee shop was in a strip mall. So like people were there for Black Friday, and they were there early in the morning, and they were angry. They were mad just because they had to exist at 5 a.m. I don't blame them. But they would come into the coffee shop and they would just be shitty, like just so shitty. And I will never forget this one woman. She came in and she wanted a cappuccino with extra foam. So I made her a cappuccino with extra foam. And she got mad at me and like took the drink, paid for it, left for like 10 minutes, came back, had half of it drank, and started screaming at me.
Oh my God.
About this, really isn't bad. This isn't a cappuccino. I don't know what you guys think are cappuccinos, but this isn't no damn cappuccino. Oh my God. So like I asked her, I was like, okay, well, do you want me to remake it for you? I can make you another cappuccino. Because, you know, I was being cordial. I was like, it's 5 a.m., ma'am. Like, I'm dying. Like, well, I'll do whatever you want. So I made her a new cappuccino. Same reaction. I made her a third cappuccino, this time with like French vanilla in it, because she asked, she was like, maybe a flavor will help. Same reaction. So like
does she just want like a dry bone cappuccino? Is that what she's looking for?
Oh, get this, Ari. So I'm like, okay, clearly these drinks, I made her pay for all three of them, by the way, because I was done, because she was being terrible to me. But so I ask her, I'm like, well, what is your definition of a cappuccino? Like, where do you normally get a cappuccino? And she was like, 7-Eleven.
Oh my God. So she wants a latte.
So no, she would literally put a cup underneath one of those dispensers, push a button, and have sugar water with evaporated milk in it.
She wants a latte.
That's like I mean, if you could call it a lot, like that's like, it's basically like a hot cocoa coffee version, like with the suggestion. And I was like, sis, this is a coffee shop. Like a latte and a cappuccino both have espresso and steamed milk in them, or whatever milk variant you want. And a cappuccino.
Tell her to go to 7-Eleven.
I told her there was the 7-Eleven across the street. I was like, you wanted extra foam. Like, that's what makes a cappuccino. A cappuccino is like the level of foam. Like, people don't realize that it's such a simple thing that distinguishes the two. A latte is a cappuccino without the foam.
Oh my goodness.
But like, it was like, I cannot begin to describe to you how many people who would think that they're coffee snobs would come in and be like, I know everything. And I'm like, you don't. You don't. Wow, I really took us on a tangent. I apologize.
Let's come back onto track. Let's talk about the white girl fall stereotype.
My head is so far in the clouds. I'm in heaven.
I think that we got the Karen stereotype. So let's talk about the white girl fall stereotype. Because they are very close in comparison.
Well, right. Well, I think part of the problem though is that the stereotype generalizes that every pumpkin spice lover is going to be a Karen or a basic white girl, right? And I don't think that's always the case. I just think that that's been a generalization that's happened since, well, I mean, we could talk about,
it's the live, laugh, love girls. You know, they've got, they're real skinny, they're real blonde, always well makeup, well coiffed, you know, sorority girl.
Yes.
Is it accurate? No, it's not.
It's also the people who have like the decorations in their house that have like wine glasses on them that are like,
oh my God,
wine mom, even though I'm one of those people.
Oh my God.
So we've established like, so this aesthetic, like when people describe this aesthetic, like this white girl fall stereotype, like it's always this kind of like image, and you'll see it like if, when people parody it online all the time. Like, it's always, like, a girl wearing...
It's so over the top, always.
Oh, yeah, it's
like,
always...
Even the parody I'm doing is, like, it's so over the top.
Right.
Like it's the hair is always, like, really thick. Really
there's thick. Always bangs.
And you know, my cousin looks kind of like this stereotype. And like, she dresses like this. And she always tries to, like, put in this aesthetic. And it's always... It's always affluent. It's always affluent. It's always well done, well dressed up. But like, you know,
like the image in my mind is always like hair like that with bangs, some sort of, you know, tan or brown overcoat, something like maybe a like some sort of peat coat or something like that.
I almost bought the hat for it.
The hat. Oh, what do you call those hats?
The fall, like the cow, it's like a cowboy hat, but it's not quite.
Right. And always boots. Like boots and high waist jeans.
Yeah, the skinny jeans.
Yeah, like that's all. I feel like that's always like the image stereotype that media and critical people tend to resort to, right?
I am wearing the paisley colors.
Oh well, paisley I would say is probably one of the most popular patterns, right, in that area.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So obviously, like, I think that I personally think that it's an absolutely adorable aesthetic. Like if I were a woman, I would want to have that aesthetic, personally speaking. Well, I mean, there's nothing that says that I can't have that aesthetic, but you know,
but there's the thing about it is that, it shows there's a reason why it's considered basic is because it stinks of like wealth, like of affluence, of like that it has like clean lines and neutral colors, and that it has like a sense of but you can look that way without spending a lot of money because it's is pervaded culture so much that you can buy it for cheap without, like, cheap goods can look expensive. And so a lot of, like, basic white women who are, you know, middle class or, like, on the cheaper end of things can look, like, expensive without being expensive. And so that's where this aesthetic comes from, is that even though they may be, like, on the poorer end of things, they can look like they are affluent.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense to me. So let's talk. Okay, so I think a lot of the criticism probably stems from some sort of misogyny, right?
It does, because honestly, like, don't you know, as a woman or as a person, don't you want to look like you are a million bucks? Don't you want to look like you dress well and dress good? Like, I understand that maybe, like, it comes off as, like, a uniform, because everybody kind of dresses in that same vein. But there are, you know, there are fashion trends, there are fashion styles, you know, just because, you know, 30 people dress similarly doesn't mean that it's a bad thing necessarily. It's just that, you know, when I was living, just because I've dressed on trends before, and you see people all kind of dress very similarly, because, you know, it's the style at the time. And, like, you know, it's not that it's necessarily a bad thing. It's just that that's what's available right now. And there are only so many certain ways to style things. And so some people, you know, as a woman, you know, you try to be, you know, unique and interesting, but there are only certain, you know, ways. Your creativity only stretches so far when you have a certain number of clothes at the store.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are only a certain number of ways to style your hair and a certain number of ways to style, like, it.
So one of my, when it comes to thinking about it from the context of the criticism beginning with misogyny, do you remember Vine? I remember a long time ago, I think this was like 2015 or something. I remember there was this Vine where a couple were going through, like, a Starbucks drive-through, and, like, a man held up his phone to the speaker, and it was his significant other, his wife, whoever, like, rattling off her Starbucks order. And it was, like, deliberately, like, this very, very long order with, like specifics and stuff like that. And, like, he was, like, eye rolling. And I will never forget, like, reading comments being like, this, like these women, blah, 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 like, and their stupid coffee orders. Like, they're so, like, people would be like, they're so high maintenance, blah, blah, blah. And when I read that, I was just like, this is just this person's coffee order.
Yeah.
Like, this is just their coffee order.
But you think about it, like, when it comes down to it, and then it comes into attitudes of, like, setting the bar. Like, he couldn't be expected to even remember, like, something as simple as her preferences for coffee. How does that relate to, like, their relationship as far as it goes, is, like, you know, remembering birthdays or remembering doing nice things for, she has to remember her own coffee order because you can't even do, like, very simple things like that. And so it like equates to, like, heteronormativity and, like, you know, because there's a saying that the bar is in hell as far as, like, heteronormative relationships, because, like, there was a woman, I saw a video once about a woman who said, he asked me how I was doing, and that was so nice of him. He was so nice to me. And, like, he opened the door for me, and, like, he was, like, doing, like, basic, like, common decency things. He showed up for the date. I was so excited. And it was just like, these are, like, basic common decency things, like, you should be doing anyway. And, like, people were, like, flipping out. And it was just like, when I think about like how this vine that you're talking about, like how he couldn't even be expected to, like, that she had to rattle off her own coffee order. I just think about like, and like the way that people make fun of like pumpkin spice latte, like with women, it's sort of like that these drinks are like high expectation drinks, and that like these are like high maintenance drinks, and like they're all sugary. And like, it's the same with like water talk. Like, people were making fun of women on water talk. Mm-hmm. And I thought that like, because they do all these like concoctions with water talk. And with water talk, it was like, it's for patients who have had bariatric surgery. So they try to get their water in. And so they do like, they can't drink soda, or they can't drink like sugary drinks. So what they do is they have like, they'll mix like flavored waters. So like sometimes they seem more on the sugary side because they can't have sodas and stuff, but they can have like flavored waters. So like they'll mix, it'll seem like extra sugary to other people, but it's sort of like, I can have this flavored water. It's only like 5 or 10 calories, or like 30 calories, or like even.
But that's where they get their sweet satisfaction from.
Right. Because they can't eat sugary foods or anything, but they can have like sugary water. So like, it's sort of like a trade-off. So like, right, other people might not understand that, but like, and like they drink it with like a lot of ice because that's the only way they can drink their water. So like, some people might understand like how a bariatric patient works, but like, if you're not in, and like, some people don't understand, like, not every bit of content is for them. So like, they don't quite understand that, like, if you're not in a community, that not every community is for you. So like pumpkin spice lattes are for, like, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, if a white woman enjoys that, or if some people enjoy that, it's not, you know, that's okay. And like, it's okay, right, to enjoy those things. But like, if you make fun of those things, it's not necessarily meant for everybody's enjoyment. It's meant for a specific person's enjoyment.
Well, and so like, exactly. And what is interesting about the whole misogyny aspect is, if you look at the examples of misogyny surrounding, you know, pumpkin spice lattes and this aesthetic that people are critical about, like, it's always rooted in minimizing or trying to inflate, I guess, like minimizing someone's wants, and those wants typically being from a woman, right? Or like inflating, like, oh, because they have this order, it's a reflection of how they're too much. They're demanding. They're like, so it really, like, it's very villainizing of a person just having needs, having general needs.
Well, like, haven't you, like, on the LGBTQ plus community, aren't there like things like going into the gay bar, or like having specific drinks, or like having specific things? Like, haven't you had like,
So like drinks are definitely like gendered. Unfortunately,
they are.
Like, if I go to a gay bar, or any bar for that matter, and I order something like a Bahama Mama, which is like one of my favorite drinks, is like this tropical drink. It's so good. Like, I will always have the bartender look at me, or the waitress or waiter look at me and be like,
exactly.
Like, you're not going to get a beer. Like beer. You have beard. You need beer. Like,
Let me have my sugary drink and
Yeah, I don't want liquid bread. If I wanted bread, I would just gobble a loaf.
But speaking of a loaf of bread, I bought a loaf of bread and I fed it to some seagulls the other day.
I would have fought those seagulls for that bread.
It was Hostess bread too.
Oh. I love that. I'm sure the seagulls lived their best life over that.
Yes, they did.
Drinks are very much like gendered. And I think that That's partially why pumpkin spice latte lovers are often shamed, because it's deemed as like emasculating, or like, you know, like
it's just people... that women aren't allowed to have anything, just like gay people aren't allowed to have anything, or black people, like, and the thing with like black culture, and we have like a question about indigenous cultures too. It's sort of like with black culture, they either make fun of it or they take it over. And that's the thing with women too. Like they either make fun of it or take it over.
So like the people are making fun of the women and then taking over whatever it is that they are wanting, right? Kind of like appropriating.
Because for the first 2 years of Pumpkin Spice Latte, all they did was just make fun of it. And now it's so, pumpkin spice is so prolific in culture. Like pumpkin spice dominates fall culture. It's in everything now.
Capitalism. Let's think of it capitalistic. Let's think of it capitalistically, because like, obviously, like, and we have a question about this, like, this constant need to produce like some sort of capitalistic result. Right.
Yeah.
Because like, if we think of how like seasonal drinks are branded and designed to appeal to people, like, who is it designed to appeal to?
Because originally pumpkin spice latte was just like a simple fall drink that you could get at a coffee shop. At like, and it probably started maybe at like what, Starbucks, maybe? And so it started as just a drink and people went nuts for it, and that was fine. But then they started putting pumpkin spice in. And maybe it started as basically pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie, you get it at Thanksgiving. And then Starbucks did the pumpkin spice latte. And then all of a sudden, you started seeing pumpkin spice in everything. In cookies, in coffee, like the coffees that you could get, like in the K-cups, in all sorts of things. In all kinds of things. In like candies and all kinds of things. Like, it's an explosion. It's nuts now. How many things that you see in fall.
So like, well, on one end, while, you know, certain groups of people are being shamed for loving pumpkin spice, those are the people that these institutions are trying to appeal to, because they know, well, based on like the image that's been created, they're like, we need to appeal to these specific people. Like if you look at like advertisements from like Starbucks and Big B and stuff like that, and they're advertising like fall flavors, like, do you think that you're going to see a lot of, you know, people in these advertisements that aren't white women? No, usually not, right? So it's like, to me, it's very exclusionary, because obviously more than just white women drink pumpkin spice lattes, but it also to me seems like these,
It was sort of like people got really defensive and they're like, well, I like pumpkin spice latte. I don't understand why you're making fun of it. And so then they were like, oh, you like pumpkin spice? Let's put it in everything.
Right.
There's an untapped market.
So like, and so to me, it also feels like these institutions are like preying on the group of people who's often like shamed and and overly stereotyped for loving pumpkin spice. And it's such a very interesting tapestry, like, that's been woven, you know?
Well, and just like because I talk about, is it so bad being a basic white woman and the idea of being an overachiever constantly having to produce in capitalistic culture? Because the idea of the pumpkin spice latte or getting lattes and like drinks, because when you think about getting a pumpkin spice latte, they always show like a woman getting a pumpkin spice latte and then going off and like going to like a football game or like going and doing like Thanksgiving dinner and like, you know, getting like all of the stuff necessary and like doing like event planning or like going and like just overachieving during the holidays, that she's going off and doing like a pumpkin patch or like going to like some kind of event or like planning Thanksgiving dinner. Like, she's not just getting a pumpkin spice latte. She's going out and she's like being some kind of like go-getter socialite type that's constantly on the go doing something. She's not just getting the pumpkin spice. She's like being a person who's on the move, and she's she's doing this on the way to doing something else. And so this capitalistic culture says that she's consuming this pumpkin spice on the way to, you know,
on the way to
part of movement, and that she's constantly having to manage other people in other situations and other things on her way to, you know, being this person who's everywhere and everything all the time.
Right. Absolutely. So we could talk about, if we want to continue the trajectory and talk additionally about coffee, like, because the next question has a lot to do with, like, America's, like, does the success of pumpkin spice lattes coming from Starbucks also talk about America's history of coffee and addiction to sweet things and propensity to pack on extra calories to cope with, like, trauma and stress? So, like, I think partially it is that, but I also think coffee has become synonymous with a 9-to-5 work day.
It's true. Yeah. Well, it's not even 9-to-5 anymore. It's more like 8 to 8 now.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that, like,
make you work until very late at night now.
Right. I feel like,
and that you're always available because you have a cell phone now, like a smartphone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you're always available for,
you never can detach.
Right.
And coffee is there to help get you through that, right? Like, I kind of feel like coffee has been, like, painted as, like, this, like, here is something that can help you cope with this assembly line that you've been placed on, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of messed up when you think about it.
Well, it's the oil that, you know, manipulates the gears to help you function in a society that wants you to perform and produce. And you know, that the sweet things help you kind of have a pleasant demeanor while you're trying to be in a system that is angry and violent and unpleasant, because everybody's upset and angry and violent from all of the dissatisfaction with having to be in a system that is forcing them to produce constantly.
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent point. Arby says, drinks being gendered is ridiculous, in my opinion. Agreed.
Agreed.
No, like, it's just interesting. Like, I think at some point in the future, we should do an entire episode where we kind of reflect on the like, do more research on the history of coffee and, like coffee and capitalism or something like that.
I do have about pumpkin spice lattes and indigenous cultures, if you want to hear about how it's not, that it's brought to you by brown and indigenous people, if you want to hear about that.
Yes.
So pumpkin spice lattes are not basic in the one white girl relationship. Cinnamon in the pumpkin spice lattes come from Sri Lanka, and cloves and nutmeg are basically small dried flowers from the evergreen tree, whereas nutmeg is a seed from a different kind of evergreen tree. These spices can be found on the Maluku Islands, which are a colonized world as the Spice Islands. For thousands of years, the indigenous islands sailed and traded with Chinese and Arab merchants. Spices traded were not only valued in uses in cuisine, but also for their healing properties. Nutmeg, especially, was sought after for their medicinal properties.
Interesting.
Pumpkins are, of course, indigenous to the Western Hemisphere and one of their most versatile fruits. They have been growing for at least 7,500 years in Mexico, and these particular types of pumpkins were described as hard, small, and bitter. Although somewhat different to our pop culture and senses of pumpkins, pumpkins grown by indigenous people in Mexico were, and still are, heavily featured in numerous recipes such as pepitas, which is roasted seeds, and pepezulas, corn tortillas in a sauce made from pumpkin seeds, and tamales and moles. Nations like the Wampanoag and Abaki have cultivated and cooked pumpkin for thousands of years.
Interesting.
So that is how they have been brought to you by indigenous
people. Sure we could really weave an interesting conversation about coffee and colonization and
oh, absolutely.
How, yeah, like, ooh. And mind you, like, I think the history is, even though I love coffee, like the history is so important. So like, I guess at the end of the day, like now that we're winding things down here, like, where does this leave us? Like, is the pumpkin spice latte able to be enjoyed at all? I think yes. Like, I'm personally going to continue enjoying pumpkin spice lattes, no matter how people might balk at the idea, how people might eye roll or, you know, minimize the beverage is like, oh, you're drinking a woman's drink.
I think that even though due to capitalistic stresses, and that even though the drink is often used as a lubricant for a society that wants us to constantly produce, and that even though purchasing a pumpkin spice latte from a coffee shop is often seen as fueling a system that is, you know, that buying from a coffee shop is overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
It's often, you know, making it at home is a lot cheaper, and that buying it from a coffee shop is overpriced, and that it's fueling a capitalistic society that mm-hmm. is not always in our best interest, and that it often leads to burnout and that sleepless nights. And that it can often lead to, you know, possible anxieties and certain things like that. I think that maybe an every once in a while pumpkin spice latte is a good thing, that it's okay to enjoy those things. If you like pumpkin spice latte, I think that you should be free to enjoy those things. Mm-hmm. I think that they are good for you as far as like having a treat.
Yeah, if they allow some serotonin to happen, then anything in moderation.
I think that if you are having them in excess, then maybe you should examine why you're having that in excess and what that's doing to your mental and physical health and why you feel like you need those to sustain yourself. Because I feel as though it's not beneficial to you spiritually and emotionally, because it's fueling a system that's not beneficial to you emotionally. But do you, boo? I mean, if
do you, boo? Okay, I have one final spontaneous question. What is your opinion on the different chains, like coffee brand chains, like Starbucks, Big B, Caribou, Tim Hortons?
Oh, what's the other one? The brothers. What's that?
Einstein. Is it Einstein?
Is it? Yeah, something like that.
Like Einstein Bagels or something. What, like, oh, Jackie's here. You can always watch the replay once we're done. It's good to see you. We're talking about pumpkin spice lattes tonight. Okay. So as much as I do like Starbucks, I also like Big B sometimes.
The closest one to my house is a Big B. So if I'm going to get a pumpkin spice latte, I'm going to go to Big B.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan of Tim Hortons, although I do like their like little donuts. Those are nice.
Oh, the Timbits.
Mm-hmm. Those are super delicious. If you were to go to Starbucks right this minute or Big B and get something, what would you get?
I would get, it's late, so I would get a chai latte.
Ooh, I do
with love almond chai. Milk.
So one of my favorite drinks is a dirty chai. Like a chai latte with, I get oat milk typically, but I do like almond milk too. If I have regular milk, better hope there's a bathroom nearby. But another pee pee poo poo situation. Just tossing a shot of espresso in a cup of dirty chai is like pumpkin pie in a cup.
I don't need to go to the coffee shop anymore. I have my own espresso machine.
Oh. You know what? I really have thought for a long time about getting an espresso machine. So I might talk to Britt and be like, hey, this is something. Yeah,
Christmas
like this is
espresso
something.
machine.
Well, okay. So I really have moments where I miss being a barista very much. So like if I have people over, like I would love to for dessert, make a fancy a mocha or something
An
like that.
affogato.
Yeah, and something like that's like a coffee beverage that can be
An
very thump.
affogato. Do you know what affogato is? A little scoop of ice cream with a
Yeah.
little shot of espresso. Oh.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun to just be able to do? I mean, you can now do that. Ari,
I can do that.
when I come over at some point, I hope that we will
I will do
enjoy
affogatos for you.
affogatos together.
Absolutely.
Well, everyone, thank you for joining us on this another episode of Restitching the Tapestry. Don't forget to go like or well, don't forget to like the video. Subscribe to our channels if you haven't yet. You have my channel here, Ari's channels, Tarot Time with Ari and Strange Nothings, and Boocha Baby.
Boocha baby.
Boocha Baby. I know I watch that one when I need to motivate myself to drink more water. So my other channel is Donnie Speaks, my poetry one, my archive channel if you want to watch random tidbits. Beyond that, though, I think that's pretty much it. So, any parting words for the night?
Have a good, are we off next week?
It's Thanksgiving.
Oh my goodness, have a good Thanksgiving. Gobble gobble hap and do a turkey trot.
Do a turkey trot, don't eat too much stuffing, and we will see you again the last week of November. Bye, everyone. Love you. Bye.